It is my great pleasure to be here. My name is Benny Yoshida from Department of Physics at MIT. So today I'm going to talk about an interesting connection between topological order and quantum code. In particular, I will provide a toy model, which I call quantum code with translation and scale symmetries. And by translation symmetry, I mean that a quantum code is realized by a system Hamiltonian, which is invariant under finite translations of the system. And by scale symmetry, I mean that the number of logical qubits or the number of degenerate ground state does not depend on the system's size. And by analyzing this toy model, I will approach to some of the open questions left unsolved in the studies of topological order of the states. So let's get started. So recently, we have seen an emerging closeness between condensed matter physics and quantum information science. In particular, we have seen that there are many exchanges of theoretical ideas and techniques between two fields. And we quantum information theorists want to push the current from quantum information science to condensed matter physics further and further. And in particular, it is our hope that someday quantum information theoretical techniques may enable us to solve some of the open questions left unsolved in condensed matter physics. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about the connection between topological order and quantum code. Even though these two disciplines seem totally different, actually, there is indeed an intimate connection between them. For example, topological order is usually characterized by the global symmetry, which is usually characterized by the existence of global operator, which commute with the system Hamiltonian. And such a global symmetry leads to the existence of a degenerate ground state, which are sometimes referred to as topologically degenerate ground state. But in the language of quantum coding theory, this symmetry operator is logical operators, which are responsible for global entanglement of the system. And topologically degenerate ground states may be treated as logical qubits. So with this connection in hand, we hope to solve some of the mysteries in topological order by using quantum coding theoretical techniques. And this correspondence may be quite useful because usually quantum code, it is relatively easy to solve quantum coding problems rather than solving general correlated spin systems.
I know about quantum information, but I'm a complete idiot when it comes to condensed matter. I have no idea what condensed matter physicists talk about at their group meetings.
Okay.
So the only definition that I know of topological order is the one that you've given here.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, from a background in condensed matter, would a condensed matter theorist start talking about topological order by saying there's a global symmetry, as you have done? Is that the normal way of defining it, or is there another way?
There are so many definition and characterization of topological order or phases. And so one way is to discuss anionic braiding. So if we have anionic excitation, and if we have some non-trivial phases, then we can characterize that. We can say that there is a topological order. But there are many ways to, I think, quantify it. I think people have many ways of, currently I don't have any unified view on these things. Yeah, I mean, I hope to contribute to that. Yeah, so, yeah. So, where am I? Okay, so it is sometimes relatively easy to solve quantum coding problems because quantum coding theory is usually constructed based on operator algebra, which is based on a finite group. So if we are really smart enough, then there is a possibility to solve it analytically or at least numerically. But still, there is a disconnection between two fields. And in order to close this gap, I would like to point out that there are three things missing in quantum coding theory. So quantum code needs Hamiltonian, quantum code needs geometry, and quantum code needs physical realizability. But actually, we already know the answer toward these two needs, Hamiltonian and geometry. If we use stabilizer formalism, then we are automatically guaranteed to have Hamiltonian. If you discuss stabilizer code defined on a lattice with a lattice or geometric manifold with local interactions, then we can introduce metric. But in this talk, I want to further sharpen our consideration by imposing translation and scale symmetries. Okay, so I will provide a toy model which satisfies all these three physical constraints. I will give a complete solution of the model by calculating all the logical operators in the model. And in particular, I will classify all the logical operators according to their geometric shapes. And I will discuss topological order arising in the model. And based on this analysis, I would like to approach some of the open questions left unsolved in topological studies of topological order. And today, I'm going to talk about the feasibility of self-correcting quantum memory and topological quantum phase transition. So let's get started. So this is the plan of my talk. So first, I will introduce a theoretical tool which is particularly useful in studying non-local correlations or entanglement in a stabilizer code, which will be summarized in the following very simple equation. And then next, I will provide my toy model, which I call stabilizer code with a translation and scale symmetries. Then I will introduce another theoretical tool, which is particularly useful to discuss the toy model, which is about the transformation law of logical operator under translations. And by use, actually this tool number one is actually applicable to any stabilizer code. So by combining these two tools, I will describe the solution of the model. And in particular, I will introduce the notion of topology in the discussion of quantum coding theory. Then finally, I will talk about self-correcting memory and quantum phase transitions. But before jumping into the main discussion of the talk, let me quickly give a review of the stabilizer formalism. So stabilizer formalism or stabilizer code is constructed based on the Pauli operator group. Stabilizer code can be realized by a system Hamiltonian, which has interaction terms, which is inside the Pauli operator group, but commuting with each other. And the ground state space is spanned by a wave function, which is stabilized by all the interaction terms or stabilizer generators. And the group of operators which is generated by all the stabilizer generators is called a stabilizer group. And the elements inside the stabilizer group is called stabilizers. And in this talk, I will neglect the trivial phase factor like I or minus one or something as long as the meaning is clear. So typically, stabilizer code has the following energy spectrum, which is discrete. And by labeling these degenerate ground state as logical 0 and logical 1, we can encode quantum information. And in stabilizer code, there are 2 to the k degenerate ground states, so we can encode k logical qubits. So in stabilizer code, ground state space is actually equal to code word space. And in order to discuss the structure of degenerate ground state, it is convenient to introduce logical operators. So logical operators are Pauli operators, which commute with the Hamiltonian, but not inside the stabilizer group. So logical operator can describe the transformation inside the ground state space or code word space. And logical operator can be found inside the centralizer group, which is a group of Pauli operators, which commute with the stabilizers. And we can list all the independent generator of the centralizer group or normalizer group in the following way. S1 to Sn minus k are stabilizer generators, while this L1 to Lk and R1 to Rk are logical operators. And these logical operators obey the following commutation relations. And it is sometimes very convenient to write these independent generators in the following way. So let me explain about this notation. So in this notation, operators in the same clump anti-commute with each other. So for example, L1 and R1 anti-commute with each other. On the other hand, operators in the different columns always commute with each other. So for example, L1 commute with S1. So with this notation, I think you can easily see that the logical operators actually outside the stabilizer group, but commute with stabilizers. And with K anti-commuting pair of logical operators, we can decompose the ground state space into the direct product of direct product of K logical qubits. I think the most important thing in this talk. So logical operator has many equivalent representations. And we call two logical operators equivalent if L and L prime are equivalent if the product of L and L prime are inside a stabilizer group. Because in this case, L and L prime act in the same way inside a degenerate ground state space.
Mm-hmm. Is L1 and LK are all inequivalent, right?
Yeah. All independent. Yeah.
Non-equivalent.
Non-independent, yeah. Yeah, because we cannot form any stabilizers by taking. Okay, so now let's start the main discussion. So it is quite convenient to bipartite or split the entire system into two parts when we wanted to study the correlation or entanglement of the system, as we have seen studies in entanglement entropies. So let us bipartite the entire system into two parts, A and B. And these dots represent qubits. Then, since globally defined logical operator may be responsible for topological order or global entanglement, we want to study about non-locally defined logical operators. But let us start by studying locally defined logical operators. But what does it mean by local? So let me make the meaning clear. Okay, so a logical operator can be defined locally inside A if a logical operator has an equivalent representation which can be supported only inside A. So here, let me again emphasize that logical operator can have many equivalent representations. So for one logical operator, it is possible for it to be defined both inside A and B if it has two representations, which can be defined inside A and B respectively. And with this definition, I can define non-local logical operator in the following way. Logical operator is non-locally defined over A and B if a logical operator cannot be defined inside A or B. So such a non-local, all the equivalent representation of such non-local logical operator must have support both inside A and B, all representations. So now, this is local. This is non-local. Okay. So now the question is, how many logical operators can be defined inside A locally? And similarly, how many logical operators can be defined inside B locally? And our answer to this question can be summarized in a very simple equation. So let GA be the number of independent logical operators defined inside A. Then we have the following equation. GA plus GB is equals to 2K. So let me interpret this result. So first, this is a logical operator. So this represents logical operator which is defined inside B. So this logical operator will be counted in GB. But there is another logical operator which has two equivalent representations, defined inside A and defined inside B. So we will count this logical operator twice. This will be counted both in GA and GB. So by naively counting all the logical operators defined inside A and inside B and taking the sum of them, then we will get 2K, which is the total number of independent logical operators in a stabilizer code. And actually, this equation is quite powerful in analyzing non-local logical operators, but because of time constraint, I would like to skip this part, but so see my recent paper, and this equation has actually interesting applications about the studies of quantum coding theory and entanglement distribution and maybe entanglement entropies and so on. But today,
unless they're equal, all is equal.
Yeah. So it's not a bound, it's equation. Yeah. So today, let me focus on the application towards studies of topological order. So let me demonstrate the usefulness of the equation GA plus GB equals to 2K by analyzing geometric shapes of logical operator in the toric code. So toric code is generated by these two stabilizer generators, which are sometimes called as placket and stir. And toric code has K equals to 2. So GA plus GB should be 4. So, okay, so this rectangle represents the entire system with periodic boundary condition. So we have four logical operators, which looks like a string. So this dotted line represent four string-like logical operators.
The toric code, your A and your B now are the lattices on which the Z and the X's...
Yeah, here and here. Okay. Here it's living, yeah.
Okay. So they're your A and B are now interleaved lattices.
So we have a lot of qubits here. This forms a square lattice where qubits live on the edges of the bond. Yeah. Here, I'm only interested in the geometric shapes of logical operator. We have four logical operator which has a shape which is like a string.
Separation between region A and region B.
Region A,
GA plus.
Oh, I mean, I haven't defined the region yet.
Was it your question?
Yeah.
I haven't defined any region yet, so I haven't defined that yet. So I'm going to.
Okay, so at some point you're going to divide the torus into an A and a B. But you haven't done it yet.
In 1 second.
Okay.
So let's divide my torus into two parts. So A and B. So we notice that B can support two logical operators, right? Then according to this equation, we should have GA equals to 2. And it looks okay because we have two logical operators. But more interesting thing is this Y-type logical operators extending in this direction cannot be defined either inside A or B, which means that all the equivalent representations of Y-type logical operator must have a winding in the direction of Y. So this geometric shape of the logical operator is actually topologically universal, meaning that geometric shapes of logical operator are somewhat universal property, which is commonly shared by all the equivalent representations of logical operators. Okay, so next, let us consider the following bipartition. So A and B. Then we soon notice that A can support four logical operators, all logical operators, which means that B cannot support any logical operators. Therefore, there is no logical operator inside zero-dimensional region, which does not have any winding. So with this, the help of this GA plus GB equals 2K, we can somehow introduce the notion of topology in the discussion of geometric shapes of logical operators. And I will discuss about it more in detail later. So now, let me introduce my model. So the model are based on these three physical constraints. And I will call the model as stabilizer code with a translation and scale symmetry. In short, stabilizers code translation and scale, so STS. Okay, so let me impose translation symmetry first. So I assume that the stabilizer code is defined on a d-dimensional square lattice of qubits, where system Hamiltonian is invariant on the finite translations of qubits. And in this example, so for example, the stabilizer code is invariant on the translation by 3 qubits. So each grid represents the periodicity of the code. And for simplicity of the discussion, I will set periodic boundary conditions. But because of the translation symmetries, actually it is more reasonable to consider this 9 qubits as a single particle or single entity. So I will consider this as a single particle. So I will call this particle as a composite particle. Then now, stable particle is just defined on three-dimensional square lattice of composite particles, and system Hamiltonian is invariant under unit translation of composite particles. So the inner state, inner Hilbert space of the composite particle can be spanned by C to the 2 to the V, where V is the number of qubits inside the composite particles. And Pauli operators acting on each of the composite particles may be generated from the following set of Pauli operators. And this view through composite particles may be considered as a coarse graining of the system. So from now on, I will forget about qubits inside composite particles, and I will consider all the systems are made by composite particles. Okay, so next, locality of interactions. So for simplicity of this discussion, I will assume that the interaction terms are defined inside 2 by 2 composite particles. So in this example, interaction terms are defined inside this region. Also, one might say that this is too strict, but if we are given local interaction terms, then by increasing the size of composite particles, then we can reduce interaction terms to be defined inside 2 by 2 composite particles. Of course, this choice of composite particle may rule out some of the cases where the lattice is incommensurate, but I think it is possible to analyze these properties in this model. Okay, so now finally, let me impose scale symmetries. So until now, my discussion was made for fixed number of composite particles, or fixed lattice size, but let me change the system size now. So N1 is the number of the composite particle in this direction, N2 is the number of composite particle in this direction. So vector n can characterize the linear length of the lattice. So let me define kn as the number of logical qubits where this code can have. Then by scale symmetry, I assume that kn vector is always k, regardless of the vector n. So the number of logical qubits does not depend on the system's linear sizes. Okay, so I impose these three. Yeah.
Before we just had a single code. Mm-hmm. Before you had a single particular code, and you're saying it has translation symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're looking at a family of codes?
Family of codes, yeah.
Okay.
With any.
For any value of n.
So strictly speaking, I should start with interaction terms, and then I have to grow the size, yeah. So here, I first fix the interaction terms, so a stable as a group, which are locally defined. Oh. Then, yeah.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
And right, and the point is, since it has translational invariance, it's the same, it's easier to extend it. You can always automatically extend it to any size.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have these three physical constraints. So because of the time constraint, I cannot show how to solve the model in detail, but I can give the intuition of how to solve the model. So we are, of course, we are interested in properties at the thermodynamic limit, where n is very, very large. But we have scale symmetries. So there exists some properties which is universal, regardless of n. Therefore, actually, it is possible to study large n limit by studying very small n limit. So we can effectively reduce the dimension of the lattice. And actually, we can take n to 1, for example, and we can still have some universal properties. And you might say that I define the interaction terms in 2 by 2 regions, so the definition might be very subtle, but actually, I can fix the problem quite easily. Maybe I can talk about it later if you are interested in this one. So, okay, so this is a intuition of how to solve the model. So now let me next introduce the second theoretical tool, which I call translation equivalence of logical operators. So we have translation scale symmetries, and we want to simplify the problem with these symmetries. So let us consider logical operators, which is defined inside this region. So this rectangle represents logical operator. Because we have translation symmetry, the translation of logical operator are always logical operators. Therefore, this is logical operator, this is logical operator. But because of the scale symmetry, we have only a small number of logical operators. Therefore, by translating many times, we will eventually get the equivalent logical operator here. And actually, this becomes very powerful in analyzing the model, but actually, we can say much stronger things than this. In fact, all the logical operators remain equivalent under unit translation with respect to composite particles. So in this example, neighboring logical operators are always equivalent, meaning that the product of these two logical operators is always stabilizers. So this is the translational equivalence of logical operators. And let me quickly give a physical meaning of this translational equivalence of logical operators. By using this property, then actually I can show that ground state, any ground state of the system Hamiltonian is invariant under unit translations of composite particles. This statement may sound very trivial, but actually this is, I think, very physically deep. But
The translation equivalence is a result, not an assumption. It follows.
This is a result.
It follows from the previous assumption.
Yeah. So this is a analytical result.
Okay. So now, more interesting part, so the solution of the model. So let me start with one-dimensional cases. So here, this is my one-dimensional system and composite particles. Each rectangle represents composite particle. So this is not, so composite particle lives at the center of the square. So for simplicity, let us consider a case where k is equal to 1 first. Then logical operators looks like this. So L is defined all over the lattice, and R is defined only inside a single composite particle. And X bar and Z bar anti-commute with each other. So that's very simple. So now let me generalize this result. When k is larger than 1, it is still simple. Li is defined all over the lattice in a periodic way, and Ri is defined only inside a single composite particle. And here, xi bar and zi bar obey the following commutation relations. Okay, so with this list of logical operators, we notice that code distance is at most v, which is the number of qubits inside a composite particle. And in principle, this model can support GHZ-like entanglement at zero temperature. And by GHZ-like, I mean that the ground state can be a superposition of two ground states which are globally separated. And according to the geometric shapes of logical operator, I can call Li as one-dimensional logical operator and R1 as zero-dimensional logical operator. Then important observation is zero-dimensional logical operator and one-dimensional logical operator form an anti-commuting pair. Okay, but let us recall that logical operators have many equivalent representations. So is this classification, the dimensions I assigned, universal or not? So in order to answer this question, let us consider the following bipartition. Then region A can support k logical operators, which are zero-dimensional logical operators. But as a result of this equation, we notice that GB is equal to k. Therefore, B can support only zero-dimensional logical operators, which means that one-dimensional logical operator can be supported only inside one-dimensional region with support all inside all of the composite particles. Okay, so next let's move on to the two-dimensional case. In two dimensions, we have two types of pairing. First, 0-dimensional and 2-dimensional, a second, 1-dimensional and 1-dimensional. And the important observation is that the sum of the dimensions of logical operator is always 2, which is the spatial dimension of the system. And actually, this representation is actually not precise, and this 0-dimensional logical operator is defined inside a little bit larger region, but still finite. But for graphical ease of graphical representation, I describe it as if it is defined inside a single composite particle. Okay, so, yeah.
You go back a second?
Yeah.
So, as I understand notation, the Z bar now is a logical operator or a...
No, it's a single Pauli operator.
It's a single Pauli operator?
Single Pauli operator acting on a particle here.
Yeah. It's part of the stabilizer or not?
No. Some Pauli operator.
Some, any Pauli operator?
No, not any. Good Pauli operator. I'm saying that there is a representation of logical operator which can be described in
the and this Li is the product of all of them?
Yeah, tensor product of all of them. Yeah, so one dimensional. So very anti-commute because
So how do you know that they only
here and then that?
I thought you were considering composite, but why do you associate single Pauli?
No.
Isn't that what the I is? It reacts inside the composite.
Yeah, inside. So the.
No. The I is the. Which large block writer is right
here? So I is. So yeah,
but clearly it is composite, or there wouldn't be movement going, right? So
yes.
Yeah, I assume that when you say single Pauli operator, you mean actually Pauli operator acting on all the qubits inside the composite.
Yeah. It's a single composite. So.
Yeah, but then somehow commutation relation depends on the parity, right? Because you have the even number or the odd number.
Okay, so...
It doesn't affect all of them anyway, so...
Zeta is the only operator that is acting on the particle I, and the density of it...
Actually, so I don't care about the labeling of the qubits inside. I'm just saying there exists such a Pauli operator acting on the particle which is in a way the computational relations like this.
Okay.
So maybe you can consider this as a, like... So if this is a single Pauli operator acting on each of the qubits inside the composite particle, then we can find some critical transformation in this one. Right. So just go.
But I think spirit X by the product of Pauli operators, or do you consider?
Yeah, Pauli operator. Okay. Product of Pauli operators, yes.
So U is always free-fold.
Free-fold, yeah. So I only have commutation and anti-commutations.
So even though I increase the inner dimension, I will never have qubit-like commutations. So, okay. So physical properties is actually easy to guess. Because of these one-dimensional logical operators, we can consider endpoints of this string-like logical operator as an anionic excitation. So, periodic, sorry. So. It is periodic. I can enlarge this as much as possible.
So if you can't wear the anion,
mm-hmm.
Only if you can.
Yeah. Sorry. There is no endpoint.
Okay. But if there were endpoints, we could think of it as anionic.
Yeah, that's.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Okay, so endpoint of cut, some part of string operator can be viewed as anionic excitations.
But the reason is that because you can prove that the endpoint of waves does not commute with the amplitude with something in the amplitude.
Yeah, yeah, only around here. So the excitation energy is finite always. So let's consider this logical operator, part of logical operator, then if this commute with all the Hamiltonian, then this is logical operator or stable, right? Because it commutes with all the Hamiltonian, meaning that this operator commutes with all the stabilizer generators, so which is inside the centralizer group. So it is either logical operator or stabilizers. But this is one-dimensional logical operator, so we cannot actually shrink it into smaller region.
So I'm just saying this is not a stabilizer or a logical operator.
So yeah, yeah, this is the part. Yeah. Why it is not a stabilizer?
But if it were, then you could also rewrite the the complement would be a logical operator, right?
Yeah.
Logical operator multiplied by stabilizer.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great. So if this is a logical operator, then
I can translate this one to here, then I will get the stabilizer. So
no, I understand what kind of logical operator. So my question
is a stabilizer operator.
It cannot even
if it's a stabilizer operator, then there's an equivalent logical operator, which is the original one times the stabilizer.
Right.
Which will cancel the place in the middle.
Uh-huh. So
and then you get one that doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So, okay, so endpoint of operators can be viewed as anionic excitation. So, actually, so these anions obey braiding rule G2 times G2 times G2 times G2, meaning that it will gain a phase by circling around minus 1 or 1. 1 is trivial 1. So, we have unusual braiding because, and we might be able to say that this has a topological order because of one-dimensional logical operators. And it might be interesting to calculate the topological entropy for this model, but I don't have result for it. Okay, so now let me ask the same question about the universality of the classification. Then let us consider this region, which is one zero-dimensional region. Following region 2, then we can prove that GA is equal to GA prime, rigorously. But this is very interesting because A prime is smaller than A, which means that all the logical operators defined inside A can be actually defined inside A prime, meaning that if we are given a logical operator defined inside A, then we can change its geometric shape into A prime, by applying appropriate stabilizers. So we can change the geometric shape of logical operators continuously as long as we don't break the topological shapes of the region. But actually, we can say the similar things for other connected regions. So in this case, GA is equal to GA prime, so we can enlarge this hole very large. And this is also OK. And I can deform the logical operator into this region and this region. So we are allowed to deform geometric shapes of logical operator continuously. So I call this as a topological deformation of logical operators. And by doing this, we may be able to introduce the notion of topology into the discussion of quantum coding theory. Okay, so let me quickly describe the result in D dimensions. In D dimensions, we have the following pairing. 0 and D dimensions, now logical operator form an anti-commuting pairs and so on. If D is even, then we will have the following pairing. And if D is odd, then we will have the following pairing. So the sum of the dimensions of logical operators are always D, which is the spatial dimension of the system. So there is a dimensional duality in logical operators. And we can show that deformation of logical operator also holds in D dimensions too. Okay.
So I'm going back to something before. So you say that you can so that you can do the tangents when you cut the strings, right? So I'm just wondering, how would you move if you have horizontal strings? How could you move in two dimensions your particles? Because it's not evident to me that you can.
So here, you mean? So if I have this string,
clearly you can move.
Yeah, this direction. Like,
but is it easy to see? Is it easy? Because
direction.
I see that you will get these families of tangents, but I don't see how to move them.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you bend the strings?
I mean,
you can just stretch them.
Presumably, that will follow something from your deformation.
Yeah.
Right. That you, if you deform your, if you have a logical operator in this region.
Yeah.
You can deform it to this region over here, right, or this region like this.
Yeah.
And from that, you should be able to.
Yeah, so you have to do this, you know, for broken strings, and for broken strings, I mean, like,
yeah.
You're not going to leave a kind of...
I think, it's not trivial, but I feel like you should be able to do it by computing it.
But then
you can also change the completion, you know, move the completion far around.
But then, yeah, just look, what worries me is if you have, like, this kind of strings, you can move this string like this, right? Now, you get it. When you move it, how do you know that you will not leave some kind of, you know, acceptations in these lines, right?
Well, there are examples in which you can have your arm expanded such that you cannot bend the strings. I mean, would be an
example. So if this logical operator, that's a vertical line, is equivalent to this logical operator, right? And that means there must be a stabilizer generator that's a square.
Yes.
So that kind of gets you where you want to go.
But wait, maybe I missed something. So you can deform my strings like... I missed that. So that was answering my question, actually.
I mean, you didn't talk, but it kind of follows from what you're saying.
Okay, maybe I missed it. Because I was thinking about it.
There could be the case that a deformed logical operator at least is not a logical operator.
It
could be the run state.
So
if it is, it was assumed.
So let's phrase this as a question, which is, the deformation of regions, you didn't define exactly what you can do.
So going back to the previous slide.
the one before, I think, actually.
Oh, yes.
This one, right?
Yeah,
so if we are given a logical operator which is defined inside this region, then by applying stabilizers, we can change its shape to be here.
Right, but it can be any region that has the same topology?
Any region.
This four, yes.
Yeah.
So those are just... the question... So the specific example that was coming up here is when you had a script, a vertical script. So like, I guess like, you know, the last couple of examples. And can you deform that to any region that basically, you know, goes around once?
Yeah. Okay.
So it can be
this
D region.
If I apply some stabilizer generators, then this form becomes like this, right? So
okay.
I mean,
is that answering the question?
Yeah. But of course, I always need to care which part is unlike committing with the Hamiltonian. So yeah, I mean, unlike committing part generates excitation. So yeah.
So you know that with the stabilizer you can always get those pumps.
Do what?
With the stabilizer you can always get, you know, these deformations like that.
Yeah. Always. I mean, increasing the size is easy because if we.
I don't think for any choice of stabilizer.
He's assuming there's a set of localized stabilizer generators.
And translational invariance. But yeah. I agree, it's not obvious.
No, not completely obvious.
I mean, increasing the size of
not every choice of stabilizers.
Yeah, but, I mean, translation he's lines. Assuming you have localized ones and that the whole thing has translation.
Okay, so imagine you just have, you know, isocouplings in this direction, the isocouplings in this direction, so your isocoupling is the stabilizer.
But then you want to satisfy the scalar variance, I think.
I think what is that? ZZ?
No, you're
the
same.
Lock operators will scale with the size, right?
Sorry,
on you? But you're thinking a subsystem goal, or Alice?
Alice, you're
Alice, are you considering a subsystem goal? Or a
stabilizer? Oh, yeah, that's a subsystem
goal. Because if this is a subsystem goal.
No, sorry, it's not. I think it's not because they're all ZZs.
ZZ.
Oh, wait, you have all ZZs this way and all ZZs this way.
So we have only two.
Yeah, that code has.
You have all Z's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, Z, right.
Well, okay, so but
they don't talk to
the code of this. That's not a case where you, that's a case where you have that's a case where you have a zero dimensional X.
Yeah.
Right.
The other type.
And a zero dimensional Z, logical Z, and a two dimensional logical X.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So only we have only two of those operators. It's K.
So you don't have any ones at all.
Okay.
Where you do, maybe they do, but they're like two dimensional.
I agree, but how does the. So I was just saying that you might have some choice of stabilizer such that you cannot deform.
Yeah, but you don't have any logical operators that act on strings anyway. You don't have any string operators.
You don't have the strings along this direction.
So, I mean, this statement is still true, right? Which is that if you have a logical operator that acts on any region,
uh-huh.
you can deform that region into something that's topologically equivalent.
Uh-huh.
And there will still be an equivalent logical operator that acts on that region, right? And it's just if you take a script, there's no logical operator that acts on that region. I mean, except for the zero dimensional.
So this is more like reducing the size of the shapes. Because we can increase in the size as we want pipeline stabilizers. We are particularly interested in the minimal shape of the logical operators. But I understand, I mean, anti-commuting part is very important in defining any weak parts, so, I mean, not geometric shapes, so, yeah, so.
But, I mean, you have worked out that you can deform arbitrarily, like...
Yeah, but, I mean, I have to define where, I mean, I have to figure out which part is anti-commuting. Because if we are given a logical operator and cut into part, then we might have several, many, anyway, excitation in this case, so, I mean, yeah, so... Yeah, should I go quickly or?
I mean, okay.
Yes, can you have 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes. Okay. So let me talk about the feasibility of self-working memory and phase transitions. So, okay, so first let me explain about two important open questions in quantum coding theory. So, first is the code distance. So, in quantum coding theory, code distance can measure the robustness of the quantum code. And one of the ultimate goals is to create a quantum code with large code distance, with a small number of qubits. And in particular, upper bound on the code distance of local stabilizer code, the local by mean, I mean that the stabilizer generators can be defined inside the local region, is very important open question. So trick code is very promising quantum code, which can encode qubits in a topologically degenerate ground state in a robust way. But actually, there exists a d-dimensional generalization of the trick code. So there are code distances are the following. And for a long time, we didn't have any quantum code which can do better than trick code within the stabilizer formalism. But recently, it was proven that the code distance of local stabilizer code is upper bounded by the following. So this work opened the possibility for the quantum code which can do better than trick code. But this bound was proven to be tight only in one dimensions and two dimensions. And in one dimension and two dimensions, the code distance is actually, the upper bound is actually the same as the trick code. So the upper bound for higher dimensional system is a very important open question. So roughly speaking, D over 2 or D minus 1, which is the tight upper bound. So second open question is the feasibility of self-correcting memory. So self-correcting memory is a very idealistic memory device which can correct errors by itself. So roughly speaking, because of large energy barrier, the system can correct errors by itself. And there are many, many theoretical proposals in four-dimensional space, including a four-dimensional trick code. But of course, we are living in So we want to, it was proven that there is no two-dimensional stabilizer self-correcting quantum memory. So the feasibility of three-dimensional self-correcting quantum memory is a very important open question. But actually, this problem is very closely related to the robustness of the topological order at finite temperature. And if a system works as a self-correcting memory, then which means that the TC of the system is finite.
Both for error correction, where what is really important is not the distance, but kind of the effective distance given the statistics. And in the case of the self-correcting memory, more than about energy barriers, we would worry about the free energy barriers.
So I wrote like proposals in four-dimensional. So let me give a partial answer about these open questions. So let me use stabilizer code with translation and scale symmetry as a one of the example of physically realizable quantum code. Then this model has, this is actually upper bound, but the following code distance. So code distance is upper bounded by L to the D over 2. And three-dimensional model is not a self-correcting memory. So maybe, TC is equal to 0, so we may be able to give a partial answer about these two important open questions. Okay, so next let me talk about topological quantum phase transition. And this part is, I have only 5 minutes. So this part is incomplete work, so yeah. So in realistic physical systems, we have a Hamiltonian, which has external parameter epsilon, for example. But sometimes a small change of epsilon leads to a significant change of the physical properties. So this is a phenomenon called, which is called phase transition. We have been studying phase transition for a long time because it has been playing a key role in understanding the mechanism. It played a key role in condensed matter physics for a long time. So let me talk about quantum phase transition, which is a transition at zero temperature. And it is commonly believed that during the quantum phase transition, there is a change of the symmetry. For example, the change of the symmetry includes translation symmetry or rotational symmetry or gauge symmetries. And Landau's symmetry breaking theory successfully described quantum phase transition through local order parameters. But recently, not recently, but we have become aware of the fact that there are many phase transitions which cannot be described through Landau's theory, which may include the mechanism of high TC superconductors. And in order to specify the topological quantum phase transitions, we need to prepare topological quantum numbers such as the degeneracy of the ground state or topological entropy or what's that, Chan numbers. Yeah. But still, what kind of symmetry is broken in during the topological quantum phase transition is a bit mysterious. So I'd like to approach this problem by using the geometric shapes of logical operators. So logical operator can characterize the global symmetry of the system Hamiltonian. So we suspect that if there is a change of the geometric shapes of the logical operator, then there might be a topological quantum phase transition. So let's consider the following situations where the Hamiltonian changes as follows, but H1 and H2 corresponds to two different STSs. And by different, I mean that the geometric shape of the logical operators are different. Then we expect that there are two phases separated, and we might have a topological quantum phase transition at some point, some in the middle of epsilon 1 and epsilon 2. In order to verify this scenario, let us consider the following phase transition.
So when you say the geometric shape, you really mean the geometric shape or the topology of
topology
this?
Topology dimension.
Yeah.
Okay. So toric plus magnetic field is okay, for example. So let me give some conjecture. So first,
change of the geometric shape, so the dimension of the logical operator may lead to topological quantum phase transition, which will be second order. And second, when two systems can be transformed each other through local unitary operations, then we consider them as the same system. So here U is the local unitary transformation, because local unitary transformation cannot change the geometric shapes or the topology of the logical operator. So I conjecture that there will be no quantum phase transition or only a first order quantum phase transition. So let me check whether these conjectures are true or not by analyzing several examples. So, Ising model with transverse field, then left part can be has a one-dimensional logical operator, which is like a string, and right-hand side doesn't have any logical operator, and actually we have second-order quantum phase transition. Next, let us consider the example where two Hamiltonians are connected through local unitaries on this model. And this model is actually exactly solvable. So both Hamiltonian has one dimensional logical operator. And actually, spectrum becomes gapless at epsilon equals 1 over 2. But this is a first order quantum phase transition because at the transition point, creation length doesn't become divergent. And in fact, during this transformation, these operators always commute with the Hamiltonian. So in this transition, the symmetry is always protected. Finally, let me consider about the case with trichord plus magnetic field. H1 is trichord and H2 is some magnetic field. And I think I should say more precisely, but this model is actually dual to 2 plus 1 dimensional Ising model, so we have second order topological quantum phase transitions. And this needs a geometric change of the geometric shapes of logical operators. But I give a kind of counterexample to this conjecture, which is Kitaev's honeycomb model. And Kitaev's honeycomb model has the following phase transition, so this corresponds to J1 is equal to 1 and other terms are 0. Then we have two trichord, approximately two trichord over there. And these two trichord can be transformed each other to local unitaries. But in order to change these trichord each other, then we have to cross the gapless phase. However, in this transformation, actually, topological order is not broken. If you are familiar with the analytic solution of the model, then you maybe notice that the entire system can be decomposed into a gauge part and fermionic part. And only the gauge part is actually responsible for topological order. This part actually generates a non-trivial topological entropy. And the fermionic part gives me a gapless phase. So I don't know about this, but this is not, this may not be a topological quantum phase transition. So if we add local magnetic field, then we can have non-abelian quantum, non-abelian topological phases. So it might be interesting to generalize this analysis to these cases. Yeah.
So since topological order is not broken, means that you're breaking something else, right?
Yeah.
But the only something else that we know is some symmetry,
yeah.
Right? But on the other hand, we know that these two faces are both still liquids, so there is no local order parameter.
Mm.
So you are breaking something else that is not topological, but you don't have still don't have local order parameter. So this is very strange, right?
Yes.
I mean, because you are not breaking any symmetry still. It's not only.
You're saying
you don't break topological order, but you're not breaking any symmetry.
So in this case, we always preserve the symmetry because we have an actual string like operator, which always commutes with this Hamiltonian. So,
So you never have local order para. So you break. Something is broken, but it must still be topological.
Yeah.
Because you don't have local.
Yes. I see. Yeah, I mean, I don't have an answer for this question. So anyway, so let me quickly give the
rough idea of how to support the conjecture. It's a rough idea and it's not sufficient enough. Of course, it's not rigorous. But suppose that during this transformation, the energy gap remains open during the change of epsilon. Then two different phases are adiabatically connected through time evolution, which is induced by local interaction terms. Then let us consider two logical operators in H1 and H2. Let's assume that H1 and H2, L1 and L2 has very different shapes. Then there exists some unitary transformation which takes L1 to L2. But if this adiabatic transformation time is very small, then L1, the geometric shapes of L1, only changes slightly. So we cannot change the geometric shapes of the logical operator. So which means that the energy gap should be very, how can I say, gapless at some point. But it is only true if t is equal to order of 1. And I'm not sure whether this claim is true. I mean, if energy gap, the claim that if energy gap remains open during the change, t is equal to order 1 is true or not. I'm not sure it is true or not. But so that's what I'm quite interested in these days. So let me summarize. So operator-based approach using quantum coding theoretical theory may be very useful in analyzing correlated spin system. So what I want to emphasize is logical operator is actually characterized the symmetry of the system. So we have two dualities in logical operators. And I can introduce the notion of topology in quantum code. And I can study topological phases. And the reason why I say this is classical because this is a thermal phase transition. So I can study, or I can make attempt to analyze topological classical phase transition and topological quantum phase transitions by analyzing this toy model. So thank you very much.
To which extent?
Yeah.
Do you think that these results could be, too ahead to
boundaries? Boundaries.
I mean, because you're talking from
Boundaries, yeah. So at boundaries, I think we will have some terms anti-commute with it, right? Because we will cut stabilizers into parts.
Well,
but
it's possible. I
mean, yeah, it's possible, but.
Now the thing is, do you think that the technique could be applied to the boundaries, or there is something
in magic
there with
these? Yeah, I mean, I hope to extend your. I mean, yeah, actually, I'm quite interested in extending the theory to the cases with boundaries. And if I can have some strange order at boundaries, then it will be quite interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes?
So, scale invariants. So why did you insist that the number of white operators is same rather than.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, first reason is because I'm interested in the upper bound of the code distance of the. So usually, if we increase k, then yeah, that's the first reason. But so I understand it. I mean, this assumption rules out many things. And so the question is how this analysis can be general or generic. So. This n vector n represents the geometric size of the lattice. So if I can show that there exists some upper bound in this number of the logical qubits, then actually by increasing the size of composite particles, I can show that so for new particle. So as long as this number of the logical qubit is upper bounded, then actually I can reduce all of them to half scale symmetries. Yeah.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, even for looking at the maximum distance.
Yeah.
I mean, given that you're given all the other restrictions you have on the stabilizer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear to me that, I mean, maybe you could even do better distance if you had a better, with k larger, I mean, with k increasing.
So the honest reason is I can't solve the model.
Okay.
Yeah. I see, yeah. I think, yeah. Transmission symmetry is quite physically reasonable,
sure.
But scale symmetry may not be reasonable. I mean, not reasonable.
I mean, it's reasonable to say you want some sort of scaling thing where you get a sensible
code,
however you scale it up. But
it's
not clear to me why the logical operator's number should stay the same.
Those operators, I mean, more like the number of degenerate ground states.
Yeah.
And I think the. When the number of degenerate ground states becomes larger, is I think when we have gapless excitation, the geometric shape of the Fermi surface becomes non-pi comprehensive, one dimensional or something, then we will have a large number of degenerate ground states.
Well, that's one way.
One way.
But maybe it's not the only way. I mean, particularly in, you know, 10 dimensions, you know.
Okay. I mean, I cannot give answers.
So, even if you, of course, heavily use the formalism of stabilizer tools, I don't see why this couldn't be generalized also to quantum double models.
Where you have qubits.
Probably. Have you talked about that?
Qubit is, I think, qubit with prime number.
Which
is, I think,
it's
really easy.
I think it's easy.
Yeah, quantum level, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's technically a bit bold, but.
Yeah.
Seems to me that one could do that.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, Which, I mean, it's also interesting because they also have non-abelian anions.
Yeah.
There's a whole universe of...
Yeah, I can have all kinds of grading. I mean, if I use Q-dip, then right now G-cube, but I can generate...
Yeah, it's an amenity.
Yeah, like scouring heap, yeah.
Have you thought at all about subsystem codes?
Subsystem code, yeah. Right now, I don't have any concrete result about subsystem code.
Okay, so let's speak about science. And by the way, we are going out for the dinner with guests, so if you are interested, please come down to the main entrance at the 6:30.
Thank you very much.